In the portion of scripture that was read earlier on tonight, we have a double miracle. And Christianity is all supernatural. We're not in the realm of the possible, but the impossible. And we'll look at one miracle tonight, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, of the hemorrhage. And then next Sunday evening, all being well, unless there's a blizzard. Well, even if there is a blizzard, we might still be here. We will look at the miracle of the raising of Jairus' daughter. But there's one thing in common about these two miracles. The hopelessness of the situation. A father grieving at the loss of a daughter. You can't get any more bleak than that. And here, a woman who'd tried everything and found no healing. And Jesus Christ is portrayed as the hope of the hopeless. And that to me is an amazing thing. It's not just pity here that he shows, but as one hymnist put it, pity joined with power. What a combination. And I just want to bring him before us tonight. And without further ado, we'll look at this first miracle. In one sense, it wasn't supposed to happen. Because in our reading, the paragraph started with the Lord hearing about Jairus' daughter. And as he was going there to heal her, this woman comes up to him and touches him in order to receive this miracle. And the grace of Christ here is such that he's even got time for somebody that wasn't, humanly speaking, part of his itinerary. In God's plan, she was meant to be there, but she was an aside. He was actually going to another place. So whatever your circumstance tonight, whatever reason you've come here, you may not have the most spiritual of motives. We can say from this chapter that God means you to be here. Now then, let's look at this miracle, the hope of the hopeless. And I just want to note a few contrasts here. Firstly, the long time this woman had spent seeking a cure. 12 years. A certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years. And the immediacy of Christ healing her. Not even a matter of minutes. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Now, this woman was suffering from a physical disease, and we're taking it as an illustration of a far worse disease, a spiritual one called sin. And the hemorrhaging that's involved in terms of sin is much worse than this woman suffered from. And we're in a mess. And you may have spent years trying to find a cure for sin, just like this woman. This is what J.C. Ryle said. I find this so helpful. The experience, not just of this woman, but of many a weary conscience, has been exactly like that of this woman with her disease. Many a person has spent sorrowful years in search of peace with God and failed to find it. He has gone to earthly remedies and obtained no relief. He has wearied himself in going from place to place and church to church, and has felt, after all, nothing better, but rather worse. But at last, like this woman, he has found rest. And where has he found it? He has found it where the woman found hers, in Jesus Christ. He has ceased from his own works. He has given over looking to his own endeavours and doings for relief. He has come to Christ himself as a humble sinner and committed himself to his mercy. At once, the burden has fallen off his own shoulders. Heaviness is turned to joy and anxiety to peace. We're in the realm of miracles here tonight. It's not you striving to find peace with God. That's turning to man-made remedies and their quack remedies when it comes to the spiritual realm. This is about something that God can do. And when God touches, it's immediate. So that's the first contrast. It's good, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but maybe you've tried different things. And you're wondering, what have we got here as a church? You know, a person once went to a church because a big chandelier had been put up. It was the 19th century, and maybe people didn't have that much experience of posh chandeliers at the time. And this chandelier being put up in this church had drawn a crowd. It wouldn't draw a crowd today, but this was why this person went. Well, once they'd seen a chandelier, they didn't want to go back the following Sunday. But that wasn't going to do anything to this disease of sin. And there are many people, they flit from one church to the next, not really knowing what they're looking for. And then they find not an uncertain sound, but a sound that disturbs them because it tells them that, like this woman, they are suffering from a terrible spiritual disease and that the only remedy is found in Christ. And I just want to urge you here tonight, whatever your condition, and I don't know your hearts, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tried Jesus Christ? There's all sorts of strange things happening in not just Christianity, but in religion in the general sense. And you may have all sorts of ideas about what Christianity is about, but forget about those. Are you going to come to Christ, this amazing person, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who is offering salvation? Not so much physical healing, but spiritual. Not just something for time, but something that will last into eternity. And it can happen at once. Now, I'm not explaining myself very well, but that's the first contrast. The long time spent trying to find a cure ourselves, and the immediacy of Jesus' healing. Will you go to him like this woman did? You know, sometimes people talk of the priest, and you may think of me as a priest. I'm not a priest. I'm pointing you to the high priest who can do it. And I'm not talking just to people who claim to be unbelievers. I'm talking to us all, because I just want to ask you, do you have peace with God? Are you able to say it is well with your soul? If you were to die tonight, would you be going to heaven? Or is Christianity just something that you're doing, just activism? Or is there this life of God within you? That's what we're about. And in that sense, we're all in desperate need. So let's not beat about the bush. This terrible disease of sin is affecting us all. So that's the first contrast. And then the next contrast, the complexity of human efforts on the one hand, and the futility, and the simplicity of faith in Christ. Oh, look at this woman again. Not only had she spent 12 years searching for a cure, but she'd gone from one remedy to the next and had suffered many things of many physicians. How true is that? and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I don't know if I should use this example, but think of the late Michael Jackson trying to make himself look more like a white man. And the more plastic surgery he had, the uglier he got. And that's like us spiritually, trying DIY. And the more we're striving, the farther away we're going from hope. Now, there are several doctors that people are trying, and maybe you are one of these people. There's Doctor Entertainment. He's receiving a lot of patients at this moment in time. People think, if I could just forget about these big issues, this voice of conscience, which accuses me of my guilt and of not being right with God, I just want to ignore it and just fill my life with pleasures so that this voice will be silenced. Entertainments. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And there are some churches even who are just entertaining you. They are making you feel happy, and they're not confronting you with these eternal realities. Now, let us be honest. Is this doctor entertainment working? I tried the broken systems, Lord. Have you gone to doctor entertainment recently? What's the cistern like? Is it really full and overflowing? Or don't you see the holes in it? And the more you give of yourself to enjoy yourself, the more miserable you're feeling. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Augustine said of God, "Thou hast created us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in the doctor entertainment." Give up. Don't go to his surgery. Then there's another doctor, and when people leave doctor entertainment, they turn to this doctor, Dr. Good Works. He's a bit more serious than doctor entertainment, and he says, "Well, you are wrong to try and quell the voice of conscience. What you've got to do is good things, religious things, as well as just philanthropy, good deeds. And if you do that, then you will find this disease of sin being dealt with." And there are still a number of people in Wales who are going to Dr. Good Works. Now, at first sight, this sounds plausible. But have you really got peace within? You who are into good works? "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands." That's what I found. When I try to keep the commandments in order to be accepted by God, I find the Ten Commandments as a mirror that shows me up for what I'm really like. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. There's no hope at Dr. Good Works' surgery. So, goodbye, Dr. Good Works, and then there's Dr. Orthodoxy. And I'm afraid that there are some here tonight who have turned to Dr. Orthodoxy's surgery. And Dr. Orthodoxy says, "That's right. You cannot rely on good works. You need knowledge." And there were people in Jesus' day who had been to Dr. Orthodoxy surgery, and they were called Pharisees, and they knew their Bibles inside out. They were very religious people. They were very good people outwardly. but they didn't have a clue about God's way of being saved. You see, just to know about the cure isn't enough, is it? You've got to apply that cure to yourself. If I have to go to a tropical country, I need to take anti-malarial tablets. And I may know a great deal about anti-malarials. I may know, for example, that Malarone is the best one to take because you don't have to take it for as long afterwards. But that won't do me any good unless I take the tablets. And what use is your orthodoxy if you know this gospel? Maybe you've been coming Sunday after Sunday and you can give all the right answers. You young people and children, you probably know the Bible better than I do. But that doesn't make you a Christian. That won't save you. You've actually got to come to Christ. You've got a taste of this good news. All right then. None of those things. Are you still weary because you're trying a man-made remedy? Listen again to Ryle. One touch of real faith can do more for the soul than 100 self-imposed austerities. One look to Jesus is more efficacious than years of sackcloth and ashes. 12 years, a long time, complexity and futility, flitting from one doctor to the next and getting into a worse state. And I can imagine this woman on the verge of giving up and hearing about Jesus of Nazareth, hearing that he is the Messiah, that he offers free salvation to whoever, and just going to him. And all she did was touch his garment. Am I going too far if I put it like this? She just touched the hem of his garment in the bottom part, the farthest part away from the Lord. What is it that saves? It's not what I feel or do. It's what Christ has done. And all this woman did, and all I do, is touch Christ. Everything that he's done is now mine. This is how Hudson Taylor described it: simple faith. If you like to define that faith as nothing more than an empty hand, so be it. Simple faith in an all-sufficient Saviour. It's not my faith I'm boasting in tonight, but the one that I'm trusting in. If you're telling me that you have no faith, then that sounds to me as if you're on the verge of believing. Because if you've got no faith, then you've got nothing, and you can go to him then. Another person just looked to Jesus Christ, didn't even touch him, just looked to him, and that was enough. Look unto me and be saved. So let's not even concentrate on the faith. Let's concentrate on this person. We'll be remembering in a few weeks' time how he became a man. Here's hope. God putting on flesh. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Why are you still thinking of your own doings when you have the incarnate God? And what about this God-man growing up and being tempted and experiencing all the problems of life and yet being victorious in everything and doing it in order to build you up a righteousness? Why are you still talking to me about your good works in order to pacify your conscience? Here is the righteousness that you need, not your own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. And supremely, Christ hanging on a cross, because it was there that he shed his blood. Have you got an accusing conscience tonight? Then show it the blood of Christ. If you are feeling hopeless and unworthy, don't look within, but look to Calvary and see there the one making an end of your sin. See there justice divine satisfied. See there the wrath of God being poured out. See there the one who cried out, "It is finished." There's no more payments to be made. The debt is cancelled. You can be free tonight if you but trust in me and see the empty tomb. See the one who conquered not only sin and the devil, but death, the last enemy, and who is now on the right hand of God the Father. Hope of the hopeless. Simple faith in an all-sufficient Saviour. I don't want to tell you about my faith. I want to tell you about my Saviour. And if I can't frighten you into the kingdom, then I want to woo you. So why are you still turning to doctor entertainments, doctor good works, and doctor orthodoxy, if this physician of souls is standing here tonight? And he is, because whenever he is lifted up, he said he will draw all to himself. What are you going to do with him? It's an insult to say, "I'm going to try a cure," if he has done everything. So the contrast between this woman spending 12 years seeking a cure and the immediacy of Christ curing her. Can you see now why the cure is immediate? Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. If you've heard me say this before, please forgive me, but I'm going to say it. I was seeking for many a month. I'd heard about the Lord Jesus. I knew I was going to hell, and that if I continued the way I was, there was no hope for me. And I'd heard that Jesus Christ had come to save, and I'd been seeking him. And I thought, you see, that if only I could seek him earnestly, I would then somehow reach a level where I could be accepted. And I'd sought him and sought him and sought him, and I'd become weary. I didn't have any strength left to read the Bible even. I was just listening to Handel's Messiah to get the Bible. And one Sunday, I'd had enough. I really had. And I had it out with the Lord. And I said to him, I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, I'm on the verge of giving up. I hear of other people being saved, and they haven't sought you for a week even. And here am I, having been not just weeks, but months." And I said to him, "Lord, I see that I deserve hell. And I'm just crying to you to have mercy on me." And he did. That moment, I knew I was forgiven. I saw that he die, me no more die. That it wasn't the works that I did, not even my faith, but what Christ did 2,000 years ago. That was enough. And I got up knowing that I was healed. And that's my story. And sometimes it's even my song. And I'm sure some of you have got stories here tonight. And why don't you seek her? Give up on all your self-centered means and just go to him. Go to him now. He calls you. You cannot refuse. And then another contrast, the crowd here, pressing on the Lord Jesus. I don't know how big the crowd was. You can imagine, say, a crowd the same as is in here tonight. And imagine if the Lord was standing on the platform there and we were all crowding round him and people were touching him. And he didn't take notice of them, but he felt the touch of this one woman. He said, and the disciples didn't understand him, "Who touched my clothes?" And they said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" But he noted, because this was a touch of faith. Now, can I, as I come to a conclusion, ask you, why are you here tonight? It's a cold evening. Why have you come to church? Is it just tradition? This is what you do on a Sunday evening? Then I want to say to you, the Lord isn't taking any notice of you. It's not registering in heaven. You're trying to keep an account that by your attendance at Heath Church, you're somehow going to be accepted of God. Rip up that book. He's not taking any notice. Are you here? Because you have to be here. Maybe some of you children, your parents have told you to come. Well, it's the right place to be. But, oh, that's not what the Lord is looking for. Or you may be here because you want to see each other, and there's nothing wrong in seeing one another. I don't mind seeing you. But that's not why we're really here. That's not what the Lord is looking for. We're not here just to do some networking. What is the Lord looking for? He feels the one who's crying to him. And is this you in this meeting tonight? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Others think I'm a Christian, but I know in my heart of hearts that I'm not right with God. And there's a secret cry from within which is going to heaven. Oh, Lord Jesus, heal me spiritually. I'm saying to you, he's taking notice. Even if you're in a crowd, he is aware of you. We sung, didn't we, of this woman, and it's very moving. Heal us, Emmanuel, hear our prayer. We're touching you. We wait to feel now thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. This woman who touched thee in the press and healing virtue stole was answered, daughter, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Like her, with hopes and fears we come to touch thee if we may. Oh, send us not despairing home. Send none unhealed away. The promise is for you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The fact that you're depending on him means that there is hope for you. Hold on to that. But notice what the Lord Jesus is doing with this woman here. He brings her out. She's so full of fear. And maybe she's a bit ashamed and embarrassed. But he says to her, I want you to show that you are healed. He gives her that assurance that her faith has made her whole and that she can go in peace. And I need to tell you, as Douglas Kelly used to say, Christ wants out. You may be a secret believer tonight. You are trusting in him, but you haven't come out yet. Are you offended if I'm using this as an illustration? You've got to come out. There's no such thing as closet Christianity. Christ wants people to be witnesses for him publicly. Are you out and out for Christ? But you say, I'm not sure if I am spiritually healed. I'm trusting in him, and I'm asking for that assurance. Is it right for me to come out? Yes, it is. It's through being more public that you will have an assurance. That's how I found it. Now imagine if you had cancer, say. A terrible disease, obviously. And that a cure was found. And you tried that cure. And you were healed. Would you keep it to yourself? I'm sure you wouldn't. You would use every available opportunity to tell others about this disease that you were suffering from and about this amazing cure that had come to you. And I'm sure if there was a cure for cancer, it would cost such a vast amount that it wouldn't become available on the NHS. It would only be for the rich and the privileged. And look at us tonight. We have got a cure for the cancer of the soul, a disease that kills people eternally. And we're so quiet about it. Pulpits aren't talking about this cure. They're talking about all sorts of other things. And even when we do preach about it, it's as if it's not having an effect. Oh, what's wrong with us? Have you been cured, my friend? Then talk about it. Tell others about it. Direct them to this physician. This is what we're about as a church. We're an evangelical church. We're not a Baptist or a Presbyterian church, but we're a church that has good news to tell people. I want 122 to be selling books, yes, but books that are about the gospel. I want there to be meetings in that building, but not just meetings about everything else under the sun. You can find that in Costa or Starbucks. I want a meeting where Christ is being offered to people, and in all of our activities, not just here on Sunday evening, but throughout the week, it is this physician and this cure for the terrible disease of sin that we're offering. And oh, if you've but experienced it, come out. And maybe that's the way that the Lord will give you such a sense of sins forgiven that you will just be filled with a joy that will be contagious. Well, let's leave it at that. Where are you tonight? Are you still in sin, trying all these other man-made remedies? Or have you come to Christ and simply trusted him for his name's sake? 470.